Bible and turn to Philippians, or go in your phone or whatever you use, Philippians chapter 1. I want to continue last night. Let's sing our little song together. Got the words up on the screen for you, all right? So, Jesus, you're the center of my joy. All that's good and perfect comes from you. You're the heart of my contentment, hope for all I do. Jesus, you're the center of my joy. I hope you've already met with the Lord this morning. I went home last night, and after thinking about I could picture you sitting here and me looking at you, whatever. And I'm encouraged, because there is such huge potential in front of me here today. I've prayed this for you, that God would so get a hold of your heart, you'd let Him, that you'd turn this world upside down for Jesus. There's enough potential in this room to make a huge difference for Jesus Christ. And He wants to use you. And so I want to encourage you today. You are in a place of great privilege to be able to be in the kind of homes that you're in. I'm appreciative of what Brother Randy said a while ago. I'm a parent. I too have had to go to my girls on many occasions and say to them, I was wrong. Please forgive me. And even exercise grace toward them. And you can complain about the circumstances you're in, but I want to remind you that whatever home you're in, whatever circumstance you're in, whatever country you're in, God can use that to develop Christ-likeness in you if Jesus is the center of your joy. And you can be greatly used of Him. Because I'm telling you what, He has not put you where you are, saved you, redeemed you, and then promised you that all of your life it's just going to be just so easy, and it's just going to be so wonderful, and so on. We're not going to enjoy that till we get to heaven. God's going to bring hardships into your life. He's going to bring trials into your life, because that's what molds you and shapes you. And you won't know a perfect environment until you get to glory. So you might as well just go ahead and accept it. Understand that God's in control of it. He wants to develop Christ's likeness in you and rejoice and shout all the way to glory, even when it hurts. Because I'm sitting back there a while ago, and Brother Randy was preaching, and his preaching hurt me. A couple times I grimaced. Was it because of his preaching? No, not really. Speaking of hernia, I had hernia surgery 4 weeks ago, I guess it was. And every once in a while, it bites me. It hurts. And I'm still recovering from it. But you know what? I thank the Lord for that, because He wanted to teach me some things. You know what He wanted to do? He wanted to slow me down. I'm real independent. And I love to do things. You see, there's, how many we got in here? 40 people, let's just say. There's only 40 people in the world. That's me and you guys, and I'm doubtful about y'all. Think about that. The way you see things, you think that's the perfect way. God has to slow you down sometimes to get you to realize His way is the only one's perfect. So God didn't die and put you in charge, but He's given you a great opportunity to serve Him. And you've been placed in a great place of privilege. And so I want to just walk our way continually through this first verse. Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. And last night I talked to you about the characteristics of a bondservant. Now I want to talk to you this morning about the diversity of a bondservant. And I want you to notice something in the first two words here, Paul and Timothy. First of all, I want you to see that you have a young man, and you have an old man. I'm going to just tell you right now, your home life and the ministry, wherever you are, whatever country you're in, will be a whole lot more enjoyable if you'll both, your parents, as I'm sure they are, and you will be servants. Here you have Paul. Here's a man highly educated, a man trained by Gamaliel, a man who has written, you know, so many of the books of the New Testament. And then there's Timothy, this younger man who is half Jew, half Gentile. He's a half breed. He doesn't really fit in. Do you kind of feel like that sometimes? I mean, for me, being over here, okay? When we got off of the flight, got into on the plane to come to Madrid, all of a sudden now I'm hearing English and Spanish. Okay? Then I get on the flight from Madrid to Bilbao, and I'm hearing predominantly Spanish and a dear stewardess who is struggling to say English. And I'm going, if I get on the next flight, I won't even be able to understand them at all, you know. So I was glad I was at my destination. All right, and I feel sorry for whoever interprets for me because of some of the terms that I use. I'm different, but I don't fit in, but it's okay. I want to just remind you of something. God's put you in the home He's put you in the diversity of that home, and in that country where He has led your mom and dad, because He's wanted to train you and to use you. And there's something blessed about simply surrendering. You ought to surrender every morning. Say, okay, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to be able to reach those people next door to me. I don't know how I'm going to be able to reach those teenagers down the street. But you've put me here. Because I'm going to tell you this, time out. God didn't put your parents where they are for them to do the work of the gospel. He put all of you where He put you to do the work of the gospel. And it takes the older and the younger. So can I encourage you? Get over yourself. Surrender to the Lord each day and say, Lord, how can I be used to reach people my own age for Jesus Christ? And so not only young and old, but there was a different cultural background. I've already mentioned that and picked up on that in all of the first one. And there were poles apart in their education. I mean, there's just so much different between Paul and Timothy. There was even Luke and Silas, who was also a part of this team, as they start the first church in Europe and they come to literally virgin territory about preaching the gospel. And God used them in a mighty way because the center of their life in community and this mission was that Jesus was everything. So I want to remind you this morning that only in Christ is a common meeting ground when it comes to serving together. It's that Christ is what binds us. It's what brings us together here. You say, well, it's this retreat that brings us together. No, it's not. It's Jesus Christ. He's the center of our joy. He's the one who makes being here worth being here. Because And you could ask the Dodgins, if they want to find me, usually in the morning, I'm standing at their big window in the kitchen, the doors, and I'm looking out over the valley and seeing that mountain, and I watch it change continually. But you know something that grips me? And I stood there, and I watched, and I look in that valley, and I see that old, old rock stone church. And it typifies the coldness, the deadness of religion in this Basque region. And I want to tell you something this morning, young folks. You and I are not a part of something that's dead, dying, and will not make a difference. We are a part of that which lives. Look in the tomb every day. Jesus is alive. Amen. And we're a part of the most exciting ministry in all the world. It's Jesus Christ to His life. And that's why you're here. So, you may be, you know, poles apart in education with the people around you and your church, whatever. But God wants to use you if you'll just surrender to Him. So, I want to just encourage you. Look, if you would, in verse 1. And I want you to do this with me. He says, Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ. Here's what I want you to say. My mom and dad and me, servants of Jesus Christ. Say it with me. My mom and dad and me, servants of Jesus Christ. Say it again. My mom and dad and me, servants of Jesus Christ. Now, there is the fact, I understand, they're your mom and dad, you're to respect them, you're to follow them, and to come under their authority. Because as you come under their authority, you're coming under God's authority. Okay? Let me just help you a little bit about this, okay? There's so much I want to share with you, man. I get up here and I just want to help you. You know, I want to encourage you. There's one person in this room that I really feel sorry for often. It's my wife. But I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to tell you why, because she lives with me. But I don't know of a more submissive wife in all the world than my sweetheart. And she has watched me make some really stupid decisions. But you know what? I've never, ever had my wife come to me and say, "Now, hon, that's really ridiculous. Why are you doing that?" I'm grateful for her. She hasn't complained. I'm grateful that here's what she does. She ducks. That's submission. Ducking. She gets down. Of course, she doesn't have to go much farther than 4'9", okay? All right? I tell everybody she's 4'9 and all 9, okay? But she ducks. You know why? She gets out of the way so God and His sovereignty can get to me. If she changes me, then it's not going to last. And you may want to change your parents, or you may want to change the circumstance that you're in and the country you're in or whatever's going on in your world. You know what you need to do? As a servant of Jesus Christ, surrender to God's authority and get out of the way and let God do His work. And don't say, "Well, if my parents only did such and such." Again, who died and put you in charge? None of us are perfect. Your parents are not perfect. But God has placed them in your life to teach you authority, to guide you. And they may not make the right decisions. I didn't have it. Still don't. But I'm telling you, if you want to really know what it is to see the hand of God work in your life, then would you just sit down and get out of the way and let God work among you and through your home and through the ministry that you're in and be a servant? So say it with me again. My mom, my dad, and me, servants of Jesus Christ. Can we do that? Time out. The greatest thing you can do for your mom and dad is pray for them. Pray for them. For the ministry you're in, pray for them. I cannot tell you, young folks, you folks need to learn how to pray. I don't mean learn to the place where you know how to say all the right words. Because I want to encourage you about something. I am amazed at the excuses that people give for praying. And one of them is, "I'm afraid I won't say the right words." Okay, I'm going to help all of us here today. Adults, all of us. We will never, ever, ever in our lifetime ever pray a perfect prayer. Ever. You won't do it. But can I encourage you? Whatever's on your heart, take it to God the Father. And who's your advocate? Who's your intercessor? Who's the one who takes what's on your heart to your Heavenly Father? The perfect, righteous one, Jesus Christ. And whatever's on your heart, however you pray, however you talk to the Lord, it becomes perfect when it gets to Jesus Christ, because He then delivers it to God the Father. And I want to tell you something. As I drove up this road today, came up through here, and I looked up on that mountain, and I saw the snow and whatever, that's the God who's my Heavenly Father who created all of that. And He's the one I talk to. And every time you pray, you bring God in on the situation. Every time. And there's no higher throne, no greater power. That's why you need to be a servant. That's why when Jesus is the center of your joy, and the desires of your heart and your requests and the things that burden you. Constantly talk to Him all day long. So I want to encourage you that in the diversity of all of your mom and dad and all the people you work with in ministry and so on and so forth, the greatest issue is to be a servant. Now, point number two. Do you think we're ever going to get there? Second of all, I want you to see that we are all set apart by Christ. Christ has given us His final words to go into all the world, preach the gospel. And He has empowered us to do His will, to fulfill His vision, His values in this fallen world. And we do it together. We're in this together. I'm here because I want to encourage you. Let's keep serving Christ and let's make a difference for Him. But Paul says here in verse 1, coming into this new church, preaching to them this letter, he says, Paul and Timothy, the servants of Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi. Now look at this little word, to all the saints. This word saints designates our position in Jesus Christ. And I want you to notice with me, first of all, our designation. Notice what he says here, set apart, saints in Christ. Set apart in Christ. We are set apart from the secular world, set apart from this wicked, evil world, and set apart from that to God. All right, let me illustrate it this way, all right? I have a cell phone in my hand here, and it is over here on this table. I have now picking it up, and I'm setting it apart from here and placing it over here. When you came to know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, at that moment, He set you apart from sin, death, and hell, and He has now set you apart to Himself. As a matter of fact, are you ready for this? This phone is now set apart to me in that you don't know how to get into this phone. If I turn it on, there is this little swipe deal that you've got to do to unlock the screen. It's set apart to me. It has my own swipe identification. I want you to know something. When God saved you, He set you apart for Himself. And you need to get a hold of this, teenagers. And I want you to understand this, because I want you to see this. We're set apart in Christ, not only as our designation, but as our community. In other words, you have two addresses. And I want to give you those two addresses. And I want to share with you something that really is the meat of what I want to give you today. Notice what he says, to all the saints in Christ Jesus. You have a spiritual address and you have a physical address. Your spiritual address is in Christ Jesus. And I want you to see this little word, in. It expresses our position in Christ. And I'm going to teach this to you. I want you to get something, because I'm serious. If you get a hold of this, it's going to help you big time. I'm looking at a group of people that remind me a lot of myself. In that, first time I ever led congregational singing, I was 12 years old. And I was waxing elephants that night. Yes, waxing elephants, which was not real good. And I was leading congregational singing, and we were singing one of my favorite songs, The Haven of Rest. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I mean, that thing just stirs me every time I sing the thing. And so, watching what everybody else had done, we got through one of the verses, and I thought I'd preach in between two of them. And so I said, it was a Wednesday night, and I said, you know, this song, it just is so passionate, powerful. And I said, think of how many churches tonight, they're not even open this evening. Why, they're as black as the ace of spades. You know what's funny about that? I never played it with a deck of cards in my life. They were not allowed in our house. Okay? Where that came from, I don't know. I heard it somewhere and it sounded real good. So I was here, I was 12 years old, leading singing. I led my first choir when I was 14 years old. Held my first evangelistic revival meeting when I was 17. I can only imagine what I said. I was leading the youth group in our church when I was 15 and 16. But you know what? Went off to college, knowing God had called me into the ministry. And it's real easy in your life to want to be somebody, to have a position. But if you'll understand what I'm going to share with you out of this little text right here, it's going to help you down the road all the days you have to serve Him. I want you to turn me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And let me illustrate for you what I want you to understand about positional truth. Who we are in Christ. Okay? Now, what I'm going to picture for you is the moment that you come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you become set apart for God. And your position is that you are now in Christ. That's your position in the heavenlies. And it has effect upon how you live practically down here. I do not live my life today from here to heaven. I live my life from heaven to here. It's what God has made me in Christ up here that has effect of what I am right here. This may be, hopefully, if I don't paint the picture, please tell me, because I want you to get this. So, notice if you would please in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now the word blessed means that He is the only one worthy to be blessed. Okay? Because He's God. And He's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one worthy of blessing. But look what He's done. This God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the only one worthy of blessing, has blessed us, made us worthy. And what has He done? He has made us worthy with all spiritual blessings or spiritual advantages in heavenly places in Christ. In Christ. All right. As I watch what happens around here, there is somebody who has to be the leader here. And that happens to be Uncle Andy. Okay? That's his position. But then when it comes to maintenance things, that's Uncle Mike's position. He wouldn't want me to try to take his position because I cut a board 3 times and it's still too short. Have to think about that one, all right? And the only nail that I can hit true is this one on my finger, all right? That's his position. And he operates out of the position. As a matter of fact, I watched him already this morning do some maintenance around here as we came up the road, and he's looking. He has eyes that he sees maintenance. And he sees eyes of leadership and things that, okay, this needs to be taken care of. Would you do this over here? Would you do that over here? And for these ladies down in the kitchen, it's their position. They would not want me down there in that kitchen. Okay? I mean, it's interesting. We're sitting at the table this morning, and Sister Madeline, she comes in, and my wife is sitting there, and she asks my wife how she makes oatmeal. I don't understand why she didn't ask me. Huh? I mean, it's not my position to make oatmeal. Well, I want to tell you, for all of your life, if you'll come to understand who you are in Christ, your position, you'll know how to operate in this Christian life. And I want you to see what he says in verse 3. He has blessed you with all spiritual advantages in heavenly places in Christ. So, let me illustrate what I'm talking about here. Alright? And I'm going to use one of you guys. Daniel, why don't you help me out here a minute? Yeah, get Daniel right here, please.
David, right there.
I'm sorry. David, my bad. I knew that. Who's Daniel? That's right. You're Daniel. You stand right here. Thank you. Alright, now, y'all, you're going to love this. Okay. Alright. Alright, now, don't crack up when I tell you this, alright? But you're looking at God. Okay? Seriously now. Alright. This is God. Alright. Now, I want to go to heaven. I want to worship God. I need to do something to this God will like me. Okay? So, I want to somehow get to heaven. So, you know what? I'm going to get baptized. Will that get me there? No. Okay? No, that's just, you know, here I am, imperfect sinner, being baptized by an imperfect preacher in an imperfect church in imperfect water to get to a perfect heaven. It just ain't like that. Okay? Well, I'll do all kinds of good works. Will that get me there? No. Okay? Wow. I can't get there. I need a Savior. And you know, it's Jesus Christ, the Lord. There's only one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for us all. So I need a Savior. Okay? Can I use you, please? I want you to stand right here for me. So, Nick.
Hello.
Sorry, Philip. Man, I'm back zero this morning, aren't I? Okay. So Philip is going to portray Jesus Christ. All right? Philip goes to the cross. He does everything necessary for a man, woman to be saved, to go to heaven. Right? Christ did it all. Now, for me to get to God, I have to go through John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And by the way, truth, life, the way, the truth, and life is not a thing, it's a person. It's Jesus Christ. And so, I received Christ as my personal Lord and Savior when I was 5 years old. I knelt down on the couch in Marion, Ohio, and I said, oh God, I'm a sinner. If I die right now, I'm going to go to hell. Come into my heart and save me. And I've been a child of His for 50 years. And it's not because of who and what I am, but because of who and what Christ is and what He did for me. So now that I'm saved only by the work of Jesus Christ, how do I get to God the Father? It is through the person of Jesus Christ. So come and take me to God, will you? All right, come on, take me up here. All right, good man. All right, super. All right, now, are you ready for this? When Christ died, He rose again, came back to earth, was here for a period of time, and then He ascended, Acts 1. And now He is seated where? Where is He? At the God the Father's right hand. So, why don't you stand right there. Okay. All right. Now, you ready for this? This is where I want you to get to. I can only get to God through who? Jesus Christ. And according to Ephesians, where am I now seated? We're going to look at this in a minute. I am seated positionally where? Because my life now is not who and what I am, but who and what Christ is. And today, because of my position in Christ, I'm seated in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. And I want to show you that here in a second as we look through Ephesians here just for a moment. And where my position is and how I operate is I don't have to live my life thinking, oh, am I going to be good enough? Because I want to walk you through now what I am, what you are, right here. Guys, you can be seated. Thank you very much. Good example. Appreciate it. I thought Ralph and Steve did a good job, don't you? Okay, let's walk. walk through it here. Look at Ephesians, please. He has given me all spiritual advantages in heavenly places in who? Christ Jesus. Your life is not you. It's Christ in you. Now watch, verse 4. According as He hath chosen us in Him. Now, I'm not even going to begin to even talk about, you know, election, predestination, whatever, because I'm telling you what, it's all out the window, except you understand it's all in Christ. I'm elected in Christ. I'm chosen in Christ. Without Christ, I don't have anything. Over and out. So let's just enjoy the fact that I'm chosen in Christ, elected in Him, and that I belong to Jesus Christ, belong to God the Father through Jesus Christ. I'm His for all eternity. Amen. Over and out. Okay? Are we satisfied with that? Okay? Good enough. Now, thank you very much. Now notice, before, and this happened in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be set apart and without blame in love. Are you ready for this? Oh, I wish I had time this morning, and I know you've studied this, about the doctrine of justification, and how that when God sees you today, He doesn't see you just as though you've never sinned. He has seen you, and He sees you today having never sinned. Because when He looks at you, He sees you in Christ. He sees Christ first, then you. And that is plays in now to what else I want to show you here. That we're without blame before Him in love. He has predestinated us under the adoption of children by who? Are you ready for this? Your position in Jesus Christ is you have the rights, privileges of a full-grown son. I love this. You as a teenager, or even as maybe when you were younger, you would look up at somebody and you go, I wish I could be like them. If I could do that, I could buy my own hamburger. I could buy my own car. You know? Do you realize that as an adopted son, you are an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ? You have an inheritance in heaven, and by the virtue that you are adopted with the full rights and privileges, you can come to God the Father just like Jesus does. You have everything you need. God the Father. And I'm just going to be very transparent. I don't mean to be disrespectful. You may, as a teenager, say, I wish my dad was this, or I wish my mom was this. Well, you know what? I wish they were too. I wish I was a lot of things. I wish you were a lot of things. But I have a Heavenly Father who is always perfect. And I have the Spirit of God who lives in me to illuminate Jesus Christ. And in Christ, I can come to my Heavenly Father and say, Abba, Father, this is what's on my heart. I take it to you. And you know what? God doesn't look at you and go, oh, you low down, good for nothing, redneck, you're nothing. He looks at you and He says, I bought you through the blood of my Son. You are mine. I accept you through Jesus Christ 100%. And I want you to notice that. Notice what He says here in verse 5. Adopted by Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. I love this. Okay, let me just go one more illustration. When we walked in here the other night, a lot of y'all were going, I wonder who that guy is. Wow, he's tall and his wife's short. He's ugly and she's beautiful. Wow, he dresses kind of funky, but boy, she's made up. I'll tell you what. I mean, you had all kinds of thoughts in your mind, okay? Right? Okay? Well, guess what? I had the same thoughts about you. And don't you like it when you walk in among a bunch of people? Maybe you don't, but I hope this is the case. And you walk in a bunch of people and you feel accepted. You somebody greets you and says, good to see you here, whatever. Or some of you, I realize, you did what you did to me when I came here. You didn't speak to me. I got all in turn. I'm offended real easy. No, I didn't. You know something? There's never a time in your life that your Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, because of His good pleasure, looks at you and says, I won't fool with you anymore. I have a dear friend of mine. Matter of fact, he was the best man in our wedding. If there was anybody who I believe, I can't verify this because it's only in the mind of God, but I would think committed what we call the sin and the death, that point where truly born again, but had walked away from God and kept walking away from God, and God kept dealing with him, trying to bring him back because God loves him. That Brett came to the place where God finally said, okay, you've reproached my name long enough, come on home to heaven. That's the mercy of God. I'm telling you, if you come to understand who God is and your position in Jesus Christ, it will make a vast difference in how the decisions you make in your life and how you live your life. Because it's not who and what you are, but it's who and what Christ is. Because I want you to notice verse 6. I love this verse. I love this verse. Look what he says. He says, let me connect it with 5. He says, so he's predestinated us to the adoption of children by Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace. Everything God ever does for you, it's always on the principle of his grace. You can't earn it. There's no strings attached to it. Okay? But here's what I want you to see. Wherein he, now watch this, he hath made us. We didn't. But God has made us accepted in the beloved. And the word beloved is Christ. And it's a perfect tense, meaning that it's something of permanence here. So if I could, and I won't bring those guys up here again. But are you ready for this? How is it that I know that I am born again today? It's because when I was 5 years old, I received Jesus Christ by the grace of God. I didn't understand all that when I got saved, but I do now. But I received Jesus by the grace of God, and because Christ is the accepted sacrifice for sin, the perfect Son of God, because now I'm in Christ, God accepts me all the time in Christ, because God accepts Christ all the time. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And you live your life as a teenager, and you're wondering, well, those people down the street, they make fun of me, and those other missionary kids, they shun me or whatever, or I'm just not accepted in this group or whatever. Can I tell you something? Because of your position in Jesus Christ, the Creator of this universe accepts you in Christ all the time. You don't need to be taught about having self-worth. I'm telling you, we're zeros with the zero rubbed out. We're nothing, but we are accepted in Christ, and God the Father loves me unconditionally, eternally. And even when I go astray, He loves me so much that He nudges me, He convicts me, and I'm thankful for the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Because you know what? He wants me to be in fellowship with Him. He wants me to enjoy what He created me for and what He has saved me for. And He accepts me in Christ. It's not who and what I am, but who and what Christ is. And you can be growing up as young men, and you're going to be tested. But I want you to know something. God the Father is for you. God the Father is for you, young ladies. He has a great plan for your life. And the issue is not for you to be sitting here saying, well, this is what I want to be. This is what I think I should be. Or this is what I want people to think of me to be. Let me tell you something. You operate from who you are in the heavenlies. And you see yourself as, wow, accepted, set apart. All for His good pleasure. Because look at the rest of it. I want you to get this real quick. Notice verse 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood. Okay, who redeems us? It's Christ. The forgiveness of sins. Are you ready for this? Every sin you have ever committed, past, present, and future, is already forgiven. If we confess our sin, We call it what God calls it. What happens to us? The moment we confess our sin, we're back in fellowship with God. God's I position does not change. I'm back in fellowship with Him, though, enjoying all that He has for me. That's my position in Christ. Look what else He says in verse 7. According to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded to us in all wisdom and prudence, made known unto us the mystery of His will. You get to understand things from Scripture through the Holy Spirit that unsaved person next door to you does not have that opportunity. Don't squander it. Come to enjoy everything you have in Christ. Then notice verse 11, in whom also we've obtained an inheritance. And I mentioned that a while ago. Why? Verse 12, that we should be to the praise of His glory. Because remember back up in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father, the only one who's worthy to be blessed. He's blessed us, and He blesses us because He wants us to turn right around and be what He created us to be. That let everything that have breath praise the Lord. My life would be a testimony of how great God is. And when Jesus is the center of your joy, you understand that all that's good and perfect comes from Him. Because He's the perfect one. He's placed you perfectly in Christ, and that's your position. And He's the heart of your contentment because of who you are in Christ. And so, in community, as we give out the gospel, we are saying to a world out there that's living in chaos, I know peace. I have a position. It's a person. His name is Jesus. And for all the things of this world, there's only one remedy. It's Jesus Christ. And I don't care where you are, gang. I don't know what you're wrestling with. Some of you come in this week, and I've watched you. I've talked to some of you. And I'll tell you what, some of you got a lot of hang-ups. Some of you, even at this young age, I mean, tell you what, you're difficult to live with. You think the sun rises and sets on you. Well, I want to encourage you. You need to get over yourself. And the only way you can do that is to realize who you are in Jesus Christ. And Paul set things in the introduction of this message, this letter to this church, this young church of Philippi, said, I want to remind you of something. We're all servants, but we have a blessed position in Christ. Give you a little tidbit. I'm done. Go to Ephesians 2. Look at this. I want you to see it. Look at Ephesians 2. If you study chapter 2, verse 1, 2, and 3, it shows you what you are before you get saved. Now, do me a favor, read it later. Okay? All right? But God, who's rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath made us alive together with who? I was spiritually dead, couldn't do anything to get saved. But now He's made me alive in Jesus Christ. And when I open up the Word of God, and you know what? It speaks to me. You want to know why? Because it's life speaking to life.
Amen.
When you sing these songs, it's life singing with life. And it's something worth living for. Because notice, if you would, verse 6, and He hath raised us up together. When Christ died, I died. When He arose, I arose. That's my position in Christ. But watch this. When He raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places, where? In Christ Jesus. Now watch this. Verse 7 is your life today throughout all eternity. I love verse 7. That purpose clause, in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ. Everything that I enjoy today in salvation, everything you enjoy today, all that we have in Jesus Christ is all because of grace. And you know what? God the Father is in heaven with his shovel of love stuck down in His bucket of grace blessings. And He just keeps pouring them out on us everywhere we go. You think that you've got this, you don't have much or whatever. I'm going to tell you what. God in His grace, because of your position in Christ, you have everything you need. And because He loves you, He just keeps pouring it out on you. And the more you come to know God, the more you come to know His Word, the more you'll come to understand what you really have.
Amen.
And I want to just tell you this, and I mean this to challenge you and to encourage you. 12-year-old leading singing, 13-year-old, 14-year-old leading a choir. I'm going to tell you something that I will never forget. I wouldn't trade for anything. were my years of going to the wilds every summer, beginning in 1971. And I would sit in the balcony, in the fireplace room, or down on the main floor. And I would hear Rock Royer preach, and Doc Hay, and others. And God would work in my heart. And I remember decisions that I made on that campsite. And I can go back to my old Bibles that I had and notes that I took. Because God was plowing and He was teaching me about Himself. And I want you to know something, folks. Today, your hunger and thirst for righteousness should be so strong. Because God loves you. He sent His Son to die for you. And He has placed you in Christ. And you are made complete in Him. Colossians chapter 2. You have everything that you need. You've been placed in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm grateful as a young man in those junior high years. I stayed at the Wilds for 3 weeks. One summer. They didn't go home. I just wanted to be there. I wanted to be under. I wanted to hear what was going on. And we'd sing those songs. And the tears as a young man would fall. Guys, don't let your heart be hard. Girls, don't let your heart be hard. Allow the Word of God to speak to you. Don't sit like a lump on a log and say, Jesus, You're the center of my joy. When you understand all you have in Jesus Christ, let it allow in your heart. Don't be a lump on a log. Understand who you are in Jesus and rejoice. So, I think you know it well enough. I won't try to go back to it, but let's sing it. Jesus, You're the center of my joy. Into a sentence what God has said to you. You do the same thing you did last night. Write it down. Put into a sentence what God said to you. And what needs to change in your life? Oh Lord, You've spoken to me. This is what You've said. I want to change. And every one of us in this room needs to change right now. Somehow, some way. It may be a little small. It may be large. But the change is that it's toward Christ. What's He saying to you? Lord, as these kids are writing, as they're listening to You, Lord, I thank You today that You are the center of our joy. Thank You that we stand complete in Christ today, and that You love us as much as You love Your own dear Son. I pray that through the afternoon that we will encourage one another, we'll find one another to pray with one another, share with one another what God is doing in our life, and that this afternoon it will be Jesus who is the center of our joy. As we serve together in community today, because the gospel has changed us. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you. Thank you for listening. Enjoy the afternoon.